Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Checkout Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Rettner. If you're listening to this on our website, wbgo.org, you know you can also subscribe to it as a podcast. And you can get that on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a review while you're at it. Before we get to our brilliant studio session with Dave Burrell, I just wanted to let you know what's going on our front page at wbgo.org. We're debuting some new music by a young emerging voice on the saxophone by the name of Maria Grand. Well, she has an outstanding recording. Magdalena is the name of it. And you can stream one of the tracks there, along with new music from the piano legend Kenny Barron and his quintet Von Hangman. Plus, we have a dual tenor battle with Ben Wendell and Walter Smith III performing Cherokee, the standard. You can watch that as well, along with new music from another legend. This time, bassist Dave Holland links up with experimental musicians Evan Parker from the UK and Craig Taborn, the fabulous pianist, with Ches Smith on drums on Holland's new recording called Uncharted Territories. All of this you can listen to right now by going to wbgo.org. I should also mention that WBGO is a nonprofit, publicly supported media company. Historically, one of the greatest publicly funded jazz stations in the world. What that means is that a vast amount of our resources, and when I mean resources, I mean money, comes from listeners like you, people that enjoy programs like The Checkout, people that like to stay in tune to what's happening in the jazz world today. If you go to The Checkout to learn about what's happening in jazz, to learn about the new voices that you hear on the scene today, not only in New York City, but worldwide. If you enjoy this content, and I know some of you do, now is the time to support it. So give us a shout right now and support it. That number you can call is 1-800-499-9246. Our volunteers are standing by. Or contribute more effortlessly by just going to our website at wbgo.org. And why don't you become a sustaining member? Which means if you do it once, you can set it and forget it. You can be a continuing supporter of The Checkout from WBGO. Where else are you going to hear this man that you're listening to right now? This is, if you don't know, the piano legend Dave Burrell performing live in our studio. He's being honored at this year's 23rd installment of the Vision Festival in New York City. The indefatigable, experimental pianist has performed 15 times at this premier avant-garde event over the years. This year, it's taking place at Roulette, fantastic venue in Brooklyn, if you haven't been there, kicking off May 23rd. Here, Burrell will be performing with a variety of ensembles. One he calls Harlem Renaissance. It's a quintet that includes the drummer master Andrew Cyril, along with a younger voice on alto saxophone, Darius Jones. And then on a separate concert, Burrell will be in another quintet featuring Cyril on drums again with the Vision Fest stalwart bassist William Parker behind two tenor saxophonists, Kid Jordan and James Brandon Lewis. And lastly, probably what I'm most excited about, Burrell will be reuniting with the saxophone legend Archie Shepp. Well, on today's show, WBGO's Nate Shenan joins Burrell in our performance studio to talk about his relationship with Shepp and all of these projects I mentioned, and talk about his vast array of influences over the years, from James P. Johnson to Fats Waller to George Gershwin. Thank you for checking in. And now we take you to our performance studio, Dave Burrell, in a performance of this original composition of his, Paradox of Freedom. ¶¶
That was a song called Paradox of Freedom. Pianist and composer Dave Burrell joins us on the checkout at WBGO. I'm Nate Chenin. Dave, thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I'm very, very honored.
Dave Burrell, you are here partly because we're celebrating you, and you are the subject of a Lifetime Achievement Honor at the 23rd Annual Vision Festival. And this is happening on May 23rd, celebrating Dave Burrell. Congratulations.
Thank you, Nate.
What does it mean to you, this honor?
It means that I have become more aware of my contribution. I have been associated with the festival for years in a lot of different situations that I am very proud of. Now, finally, bringing attention to myself and my colleagues that are going to perform with me. You know, the last set is with Kid Jordan, James Brandon Lewis, William Parker, and Andrew Cyril.
That's some band.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really serious
band. We're very
band.
Excited about that band. And then we have Archie Shepp. I've given him three of my compositions, and he's going to be sending me some of his. So we get to unite.
So one of your three performances on May 23rd will be as a member of an Archie Shepp quartet. I wanted to talk for a moment about your relationship with Archie, which goes back to 1968. Tell us about your first encounters with him and how quickly did you know that you had a kinship?
I think that me having played around New York with Pharoah Sanders and Marion Brown made Archie aware of me. I remember very clearly when they came back from California, they were talking about having played at Shelley's Manhole and somewhere in San Francisco as well. And I joined the band shortly after that. The book at the time had Sousa March's Hollywood movie theme songs, Archie Shepp poetry, and Ellington pieces in a medley. So I got right into it, and they helped me perfect their style and their way of doing things, which I greatly appreciated.
That breadth must have appealed to you.
It was very, very engaging and interesting because I never thought of Sousa Marches in that context. And to be marching along and then suddenly drop into the shadow of your smile and then continue with a poem. It made a lot of sense to me and it was an eye-opener.
You appear on quite a few Archie Shepp albums, including some of his most highly regarded, like Attica Blues. Was there ever a point at which you felt like that association defined you in a certain way and that you had to break out of something? Or did you feel like it just opened?
Well, I think it gave me the exposure that I needed to continue developing and playing in my own groups and working on my own projects. At that time, no one was really working that steady. So you had time to do things on your own.
And you've been a composer of gorgeous melodies, and you know, you work with a lot of different musical forms. There's another piece that you'll be presenting at the Vision Festival that's a perfect illustration of that. Could you share with us Full-Blown Rhapsody?
Right. A Full-Blown Rhapsody is inspired by the musicians, dancers, and writers of the Harlem Renaissance. My wife, Monica Larson, a poet, librettist, and lyricist, researched Harlem. And of course, you know that before moving to Hawaii, we were a family of three living in Harlem. Monty and I decided to do was bring the Harlem Renaissance all the way through the 40s and 50s into the 60s and the civil rights movement that we are most familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear Full-Blown Rhapsody. Full-blown Rhapsody. Dave Burrell is here on The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Nate Chenin. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
The idea of bringing the Harlem Renaissance into the 60s and into the civil rights era, that must have presented you with some interesting tensions and possibilities.
Yes. When we were researching the phenomena of the Harlem Renaissance, started with a book on the life of Fats Waller, and I didn't know how important it was that he was a protege of James P. Johnson from New Brunswick, and of course, later Harlem. But they were friends also with George Gershwin, Willie the Lion Smith, and Duke Ellington. And they would go, of course, to rent parties uptown and cutting sessions downtown. And Gershwin would have them as special guests on Park Avenue for concerts and parties. This went on for a good period of time. So I found out that Waller and Ellington were very interested in James P.'s Carolina Shout, a rag that separates Joplin's beautiful style and segues into the Harlem jazz phenomena, because it had a bass that was broken. Still heard it in the 50s and 60s with Thelonious Monk and Ellington. So I picked up the piece and found out what they were doing. They had it going from piano rolls.
Yeah.
And that's how they learned it.
You know, there was a moment in your performance of that theme when, with your left hand, you were rumbling in a way that, you know, reminded me a bit of, you know, our dear departed Cecil Taylor.
Yes.
And in the right hand, you were hammering in a way that felt like stride piano. And so, you know, to my mind and to my ear, I felt like we almost had this temporal convergence there between, you know, the 20s and the 60s, you know, or what have you.
That's exactly what I wanted you to come away with, an impression, a mini impression of what we can do with more imagination in that concept.
You are receiving a Lifetime Achievement Honor from the 23rd Annual Vision Festival. On May 23rd, the first of the three performances you're presenting is called Harlem Renaissance. And so you'll perform that piece in an ensemble with saxophonist Darius Jones and Steve Swell on trombone, Harrison Bankhead on bass, and Andrew Cyril on drums. How do you feel the ensemble will transform that material?
The ensemble will feature Andrew Cyril. You know, he was a prodigy on drums, playing in a lot of marches. And what I want is to feature him with some of the cadences from his time as a young boy in Brooklyn in those parades. Mm-hmm. So we're going to invoke that kind of spirit and have the cadence come to the fore and then strut down 7th Avenue, imagining that we're turning the corner and coming straight down to 110th Street, the way that they did periodically, say, when the troops came back from Europe, the First World War. Mm-hmm. Throughout jazz, you know, every so often there's been a jazz march or a blues march, and that helped motivate me.
So as you're describing, you know, the procession, I get such a very clear sense of place. And it reminds me that you've spent time in Harlem, you've spent time in New York, you're now based in Philadelphia, but you also spent some really important time in Hawaii. There's a really important album that you released and an opera that you composed in the late 70s called Windward Passages.
I met Monica Larsen in Hawaii. She was a poet and a writer, and I asked her to do the libretto, and she said, I will. Give me some background. I had a R&B group that played for the statehood celebration in 1959. And she said, that's perfect. And then from there we went forward and developed a very good storyline.
Now, the recording that most people know of Windward Passages is a solo piano concert recording. Let's hear a solo piece from Windward Passages, if you don't mind. Dave Burrell, Margie Pargy from Windward Passages. Thank you for sharing that. I was thinking about that cadence, and you hear it not only in, you know, stride piano, but in slack key guitar, especially in the 30s when Gabby Pahinui is recording, you know, he's got that same beat.
That's funny you would mention Gabby, yeah, because I knew some of the musicians from his clan. We were very often on the beach just listening to Pahinui, loving the slack key. And it seemed that when you met people on the beach, a lot of the merchant marines had been all over the world. They come back playing the uk and guitar and pass it on down from generations, you know. You know, the music is, especially slack key, is so inspiring. It has smidgens of the Far East and the Near East and South America. I remember one merchant marine told me that he was in East India and he learned melody that he couldn't play on the ukulele right away, and he perfected it when he got to Brazil and is playing it on the beach from memory after he cultivated a lot of different styles.
Mm-hmm.
We have one more composition that we'd like to hear from you. This will also be a part of the Vision Festival when you receive their Lifetime Achievement Honors on May 23rd. And this is a piece that you've titled Red Summer March.
Right.
Could you tell us about the origins of this tune?
So I remember the last time I was in Haiti, I not only listened to voodoo ceremonies and recorded them and took the music back to Columbia University, I heard the music in parades, like the Mardi Gras parade, at a time when most of the instruments were coming from Yamaha and other Japanese companies. And I recorded that too. I was laying in the grass while the parade went by. Mm. And studied a lot of the folk music and the dancing that went with it. It was a bit like New Orleans phenomena, where my dad is from. So drawing from all of those experiences and putting it into one mood, because as you know, all of the people that are in Harlem are from those particular countries, other parts of the Caribbean, of course, and Africa and Europe. So it's a nice melting pot like Hawaii was in the 50s. In the 20s, you had that phenomena in Upper Manhattan.
There's always good music coming out of that melting pot situation. It never fails.
Yeah.
Dave Burrell will be the recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Honor at the 23rd Annual Vision Festival on May 23rd. For more from this interview, including video of the session, please go to WBGO.org. And it's been a real pleasure and an honor to have you here at WBGO with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Our videographer for the session is Chris Tobin. Audio mix by Corey Goldberg. And the producer of the checkout is Simon Rettner. I'm Nate Chenin. So this is Red Summer March.
Right.
Dave Burrell performing Red Summer March solo in our performance studio. We thank him so much for dropping by to talk about his illustrious career, joining WBGO's editorial director, Nate Chenin. And just as a reminder, we shot video of this session, and you can go to our website and watch it at WBGO.org. I'd also like to give a special shout out to our production assistant, Anthony Nieves. And as a quick reminder, Dave Burrell is being celebrated at this year's Vision Festival in New York City, occurring May 23rd at Roulette in Brooklyn. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Also, follow us on social media. If you like the show, share it. Share it on Twitter and tag us at Checkout Jazz. I'm at Simon Rettner, at WBGO. We also have a Facebook page and on Instagram. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.